Okay.
I'm on the way here tonight.
Here we go.
There's an HOA president.
Okay, it is 5:03 PM on Tuesday, April 14th, 2026. We'll call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order.
If there's any questions.
Roll call, please.
Weagle.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Daniel.
Here. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on March 24th. Were there any changes or corrections? Oh, yes. Yes. In the title, it says downtown even permit discussion. Thank you. I missed that. Downtown even permit discussion.
Okay.
Just do it really hard.
I wish we had a good minutes keeper.
Even.
You okay? Anything else?
No.
Okay. I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes from March 24th with the noted change.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We're going to move. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to open up the floor for public comment. Anybody from the public would like to say anything? Okay, we'll keep moving. We're going to bump the fuel pump removal and replacement quotes to the end of the meeting. Next up is the downtown event permit discussion. I've been thinking a lot about this, been talking with Leslie, talking with Gary, I've talked a little bit with Tom as well. Also spoke with Nikki, and we talked to Joanne, and I feel like there's a lot more people that need to be a part of the conversation. And here we are, 2 weeks or so from First Friday, and I just feel like we're at a place where we probably need to put that discussion on ice, where we, if things would effectively, that will actually create kind of a schedule of some sort that will actually take effect in the beginning of 27 rather than now. I feel like at this point, vendors are being lined up and fees have already been decided by nonprofits. And while I think it's really important that we undertake this, I just don't want to rush it purely because festival season is here. And I know there's been a lot of conversation, and I know that there's some really strong opinions, even on the council, about this. I just don't feel content of where we've landed yet. And so what I'd really like to do, this is what I told Gary and Leslie earlier today. I did talk to Leslie, and she is, I think, where I am, which is the how are we going to do this and all that kind of good stuff. I think what I'd like to do, though, is instead of dictating to everybody, like, this is what you shall do, I really would like to make them more of the conversation, be a part of the conversations. We can find kind of common solutions on how we can move forward with both the cost to the taxpayer and also the public safety component, but the practicality for a nonprofit for those events that happen downtown. I know that I don't want to put Nikki on the spot here, but Nikki and I were talking this morning a little bit, and obviously the nonprofits that come to First Friday, there's not a fee that they paid because it's hard for them to pay to be there, right? And then even then, the vendors that are selling something, let's say, that are for profit, they're already paying a fee that's a part of that. And we can make decisions on whether or not they're paying too much or too little, but at the end of the day, it creates challenges. And so I have to recognize that. I also want to make sure that some of those other event coordinators, that they can be a part of the conversation as well. So I don't know your thoughts and opinions on that. I'm just not settled on this issue, and I don't want to rush it just purely because we're at festival season.
I agree with that. In my past, I ran some festivals and organizations like that, and you start adding all this cost to this group, and it's like we didn't plan for that.
Yep.
There's no way to plan for the additional cost. And I'm all for public safety and all, but at the same time, how do we manage that cost effectively for the taxpayer and the people that provide the festivities? Mm-hmm. That's a tough call on that, because we're adding. When I was trying to run some things, I got a budget along with anybody else, and then you start adding all this stuff to me, and I'm like, going to pay for that and still have a successful event.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I'm going to have to, yeah, there's just things that they're going to have to do. Now, I don't know, is that something we as a city say, hey, you know, we want people to come here. We want people to come downtown, you know, but at the same time, we got to be financially true to the taxpayer and the events. I don't know. I'm a little confused on this one because I want everything.
Yeah.
but at the same time, how do we do that and provide safety and provide, especially in today's times, it's different than what it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
I would rather, I think it's very wise to step back and make sure we have all the input and then do it correctly the first time and make sure we're making a decision that's right for the city and it's right for our citizens and it's right for public safety. And I think there's still some conversation that could be had.
I appreciate that. Again, I think we all agree. We want to make sure that these events are safe, that they are, you know, that the services that the city is providing to them is, you know, is valuable, if you will, all those kind of things. But at the same time, we also don't want to push events necessarily out of our downtown because there's a fee attached to it that maybe is just not able to be absorbed by the nonprofit or whatever. So I guess I'll just say, and Gary, I don't know you and Tom or whatever, I really feel like we need to take a step back and just try to figure out a way forward, and we just don't know this because of where we're at timing-wise, and because I just don't think we've gathered enough input from those nonprofits about how they would take on the cost of that. Now, again, at the end of the day, there's nothing that stops any of these nonprofits or any of these events from hiring police officers off duty, hiring firefighters off duty, whatever, right? Like, there's nothing that stops them from doing that. But it's not mandated. That's the part that's kind of the sticky wicket, if you will. So, you guys have thoughts or opinions on?
No, I agree. And I think you should probably get a little more input because again, this could be a substantial cost to them, depending on how long the event is.
Sure. So, well, I think, you know, again, let's say if it's, you know, Old Settlers, for instance, right? So they're here for what, 5 days? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, 5 days. If let's say they have that 500 plus, you know, and let's say there's, you know, two police officers or whatever, you know, that's $130 per hour, and that's a lot of hours. That's a lot of additional cost. I'm not saying Old Settlers does or doesn't have the money for that, but what I am saying is that they probably, since they are now, what, basically 2 months away, give or take, from the event, they're probably not planning to have that kind of cost in right now, right? I know that First Fridays probably wasn't planning to have those costs in for this year, right? And they're ready to go here in 2 weeks. So I guess, go ahead.
The only thing I had was in looking up, the councilman had asked us to, Adamson had asked us to research barricades.
Yeah.
And you start looking up concrete barricades, about every major organization for safety recommends them and has how they should be set up.
Mm-hmm.
That might be one of the things I would really kind of press Council and Board of Works both to take into consideration. And we, Toby and I and the guys have been out, we've been doing a lot of figuring up on how to maneuver, because a lot of it is based upon maneuvering your largest piece of emergency equipment through them. That would be the one thing I would think that maybe we could take into consideration if you are open to that. Just let us at least make a presentation on those barricade placements and how they're supposed to be put in. So I think that is a big deal, especially we have a track record of people that have actually went into some of those areas and had wrecks.
Yeah.
So just food for thought.
Appreciate that.
How are they getting picked up that night, delivered at 4 o'clock and being picked up at 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Because that's the main concern downtown is business hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, that's why I've kind of been like a little, I wouldn't say on the fence, but I've just been a little hesitant to jump into this because there's a part of me that says, yes, we were working on the special events part of the ordinance that gave this body the ability to say, yes, here's the fee schedule, or we're going to change the fee schedule, whatever it is, but I just, I'm feeling very, very rushed to decide something, and I don't think I have all the information for it. So I completely agree with you. And again, from that standpoint, again, the last thing we want is some Yahoo to come streaming down Van Buren Street and, God forbid, go into one of our downtown events, right, and take out people. That's the last thing we want. And so it is that balancing act, trying to figure out what is the right thing for us right now. So I appreciate that.
Different subject, but I just want to warn Mike, he might have the chair that's broke.
Oh.
I seen you messing with the chair, and I sat on that thing and ended up with my chin on the table.
That's what I was doing.
Okay, so when you leave, will you set that one aside so I know that that's what that one is?
Okay.
Okay. Just be careful.
Okay. Thank you. I'm assuming that you're here for fuel pump?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I've moved it to the end because Sean said he'll probably be here, but if he's not, then
no problem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So that's where I think we're going to land on downtown event permit for right now. But I do think we have a lot of legwork to do before we get to the point. I would like, by the end of this year, I'd like to have a schedule ready to go, but I think we have a lot of legwork between now and then. Now, on that topic, street closing permits. So the first one is for First Fridays. Nikki, do you want to come up and talk about what you got planned? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you want to plan what you guys have planned for First Fridays and
sure.
what you're thinking, so that maybe the public is watching or Board of Works knows.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. We are going to do 5 First Fridays, which is different this year than in years past. July is going to be a Thursday First Friday, and it's going to be Star Stripes and Symphony. So that will be a little different, and I can talk about that in a second. But in May, we're doing Touch a Truck, and in June, we're doing a motorcycle show, like a car show where they park, not where they do stunts. Right. And then so July would be Star Stripes and Symphony. We're inviting music acts and the spoken word to celebrate America 250, and we don't want to compete with the fireworks that are happening that night in Morse's Park, so we just scooched it over. I think this is going to be a really exciting event, and I'm excited about that. In August, oh, geez. I think we're doing Carnival on the Square in August. September, I know we have our movie on the square, but I'm not really sure what our theme is. Game On is our theme, so we're going to have maybe a live arcade and some just games that you can play outside together, and October is going to be Fall in Love with Downtown.
Cool. So Sally noted that the July date is not on the agenda. Will you be bringing a different request for that July Thursday event?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not on there. We are working to get a stage, and we're talking with Principal Mullet, and he's coming up with a timeline that he'd like to request, but I don't know how long it takes to set up a stage because we don't usually have stages.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. Just want to make it.
What was the stage for?
In July.
That's for
it's the Thursday Star Stripes and Symphony.
For what?
It's called Star Stripes and Symphony. We're not having a July 1st Friday. It's going to be on a Thursday. And so we're talking and getting maybe a stage together, but we have to finalize that with Principal Mullet to make sure that that's the stage that we're going to use and then go through the rest of those things.
Okay. You might want to look into entertainment permits through the state. Ever since that situation happened in Indianapolis, stages are regulated, so it might be another permit process you have to go through.
Okay, we did pull our event permit for our stage for First Fridays, and we were going to pull a second because it's not the same stage set up.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm making sure you were aware of it.
Thank you.
Any questions, Nikki?
I was just checking. We said we talked about a usable area for First Fridays, and maybe if we have, I know that First Fridays is just crazy. Which is a great thing.
Super fun.
Crazy in a good way.
Yeah. Making sure we're, you know, we're, like you say, we got a comment here, but I didn't go to Walnut. That was an awful thing that we were looking at because I know the downtown businesses get excited about things like that.
Yeah, so keeping it in the three and a half block area, right?
Correct.
100 block, 200 block of West Van Buren. half block of North Chauncey and whole block of South Chauncey.
I was just making sure.
Yeah, yep.
They know that was a concern.
Yeah. And we did have some conversation about that.
And I'll make a motion that we accept the road closure for First Friday on May 1st, June 5th, August 7th, September 4th, and October 2nd, 6 to 9 p.m. And we'll look forward to the July one.
I will second that motion.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. By the way, fantastic map. I just want you to know.
Fantastic.
It's very good. Okay. All those favors show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Next up is a retroactive street closing permit, which was actually for the parking spaces in front of 207 Van Buren Street. I believe the did you approve that one, Gary, while I was out, I think? So this was for move over to move some of their equipment out. Is that correct? So this already happened, but I'll make a motion. We retroactively approve the street closing permit as requested.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Lastly, I think this is this April 10th or 16th? So this is actually happening now, the Cowan one.
Yeah, I took them over back at home around the pods. Okay.
And this is sort of retroactive. Pseudo. Okay, I'll make a motion. We approve the street closing permit for 315 West Ellsworth Street as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Bills.
You want to do the fuel pump first, or oh, you?
Yeah, we'll do. I'm hoping that Sean will show up, but if he doesn't, then we will.
Okay. I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $710,844.72 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated April 14, 2026 for
check. Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $820,395.07 from the allowance of account payable vouchers dated April 14, 2026 for EFT payments.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable except overtime in the amount of $290,967.67 plus overtime in the amount of $14,484.31 for a total of $305,451.98 for the PayPal ending March 20th, 2026.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable except overtime in the amount of $291,265.38 plus overtime in the amount of $13,940.81 for a total of $305,206.19 for the PayPal ending April 3rd, 2026.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $12,750 from the allowance of account payable vouchers dated April 10th for police and fire clothing allowance.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And finally, I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $2,076.97 from the allowance of account payable vouchers dated March 25th for meter deposits and credits.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you, Lisa. Great job.
That was a long list.
It was. I forgot a street closing permit, which is Memorial Day Mile that was submitted. Did you get all your questions answered on that, Sal? Okay. Gary's good? Okay. Okay. So this is for the Memorial Day Mile. As you may remember, Joanne Bird has stepped back from, Joanne and Gary have stepped back from doing races. Just to give more context, we've met with Mr. Els here. We've also met with Kim Harding. They both want to take over the Veterans Marathon. After conversation with Joanne, she has given basically all of her materials and all that stuff over to Kim. So We're going to allow Kim to run Veterans Day Marathon. However, Mike has said he would like to do the Memorial Day Mile. I don't think Kim has an interest in the Memorial Day Mile. So with that, you have this street closure in front of you. Gary, remind me here. Is this something where you lead with a car and you close with a car?
Yep.
Okay. So then basically it's really not a close, it's a temporary closure
right.
is what
it's
it is.
It's a moving escort.
It's a moving escort. Okay. Okay. So any questions regarding that?
No.
No? I'll make a motion. We approve the street closing permit for Memorial Day Mile as presented.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Anything else I forgot to say? Okay. Okay, we'll go to department head reports. Jody. Department head reports.
Okay. Last 2 weeks we've been flushing hydrants. I believe we will be done by Friday morning.
Okay.
Because part of it is out at the school.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to finish up, and we don't want to. Last time we flushed hydrants out there, yeah, they lost water pressure, you know, so we want to do it. We'll come in
at night,
Thursday night,
oh, okay.
and we'll be done Friday morning.
And that means that you've gotten the
whole
thing flushed?
The whole
okay.
town.
Okay.
Now, when the kids go back to school, we plan on doing another good flush again this year just to make sure we've got it.
You mean next school year?
In the fall.
Yes.
In the fall. Yes.
In the fall.
Yes. Okay.
So, other okay. than that, we've been dealing with a lot of water.
Yeah. Storm on it.
Yes.
Yes.
yes. I mean, I can't believe how much rain we're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the good news is we're no longer in a drought. if there's a good news, we are no longer in a drought. Were you guys able to flush hydrants even in the rain today?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Cool.
I mean,
slip and slide, right?
What, you know, they did get a little wet, but what the heck.
Okay. Thank you. Questions on Mike? Thank you. Ship?
So I don't know if the mayor's told you, but I got a call last week from NDOT. We were awarded Community Crossings grant.
Did I include you in that email?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So, hooray. Westgate Phase 3 will be done, hopefully, this year. Today, redevelopment approved the RFP for the jail, so hopefully we'll be getting that liquidated off of our inventory. And if anybody's interested, we're doing a downtown cleanup. Clean State Connect is from 9 to 9:30 Saturday morning. Just a half hour.
It's just a half hour.
Quick in and out. Remind 9:30, 9 to 11, sorry.
Oh, 9 to 11. Right. Question of the chip. Thank you. Matt.
We came in, shut the pumps off because we flooded down at the park. The water was all the way up to the pavilion there by the old office.
What pumps?
Our grinder pumps.
Oh, the grinder pumps. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're getting the fields back into shape for the baseball tournament that happens this weekend. We worked on getting the pool drain and getting it cleaned up because we have the guy that's going to retile. Yep. He's supposed to be coming in this week, but with the rain, I'm sure that's going to delay him.
I was going to say, it's hard to drain it when it keeps coming from the sky.
Right, exactly. we lost an employee, so we're in the process of not only finding one, but now we're having to find two full-time positions. So we'll be looking for probably another part-time mower. One of the part-time mowers doesn't have really good health. He experienced some health problems over the weekend. Looking for the dog park to start, actually, they were in the fencing, to put up the fencing. They were actually in yesterday and started staking out some things. The fencing should be delivered tomorrow, and I'm giving all those guys the measurements for that. And then we're having opening day on the 25th. The kids will start out around 5 and 6, split up girls and boys, and then they'll walk in a parade to the four main fields, holding their sponsor banners as they as they go down. We're going to have some bouncy house stuff and things like that to kind of make it a little fun. And other than that, it's just watching the rain come down.
Great. Question for Matt. Thank you. Terry.
We finished working on the Tantalus move from REMC to the Tantalus Cloud in the utility office. And also working with Sean and SOS to install door controllers and the cell phone booster to MSF. And working with Toby from the fire department SOS to install cabling and new APs in the fire department. Install a cloud gateway BOE switch and connect it to a SURF dedicated line for their training facility. That's all I have.
Question for Terry. Thank you. Mike.
Merrill Brothers completed the belt press operation, and they run about 600,000 gallons through, which give my staff plenty of room to lower the level below the decant line, so they were able to get one valve changed out so far. Three more to go. We still have two of them on order. We're waiting, but they've got one that they can replace the other bad one and get that one pulled out and get that put in. Fortunately, weather's not cooperating right now.
Yep.
So, but we've got another valve on inside the building that came in yesterday. Yesterday or today. And so they'll be changing that out. That's another drain valve. Biomonitoring, we've done that. And we made our second sample was sent in and was running perfect. The third sample never made it to the lab. If it did, it was too late, so the test was no good. So next week we will start all over again. And we're doing a different shipping method this time.
I was going to say, that was because of the shipper, not because of anything we did.
That's correct. It's because of the shipper. And if we have a failure on this last method, then they will be delivered personally by one of my staff. Other than that, just day to day.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Tom.
I told you about the map that we came up with for the barricades. That we've been working on. 101 repairs have been done for the coolant and oil leaks, thanks to Adam. We're getting that done. The breathing air compressor, we moved that out of the way and are prepared to receive the new breathing air compressor sometime this month yet. Hopefully that still holds true. We haven't heard any updates on whether it's still coming or not this month, so we'll see. 107 is still down in Indianapolis, awaiting repair. We found out it's a 6-week lead time, and you know, I really thought it was going to be expensive, but my colleagues have expressed a great deal of money being spent. So I'll just say the one part of the two is $24,000 for that, and that's really not that expensive compared to them. So I don't feel so bad. So, with that being said, in today's world, it is what it is. So, yeah, a $24,000 swivel for the waterway is one part, not including labor. So, that's a 6-week lead time. So, I'm heading to Indianapolis on Thursday anyway for personal reasons with my wife and I. So, I'm going to take Trent Stamper down and drop him off to bring it home until they get the part in. So.
Gotcha. And that's like 3% of what Mike spends on sludge hauling. So.
Yeah.
So that's.
I don't feel so bad.
In perspective. That's, question to Tom.
$24,000. I need to buy some of my phones.
Okay.
Wow.
Thanks, Tom. Gary.
Officer Jansen, Officer Bedwell are currently in the solo phase of the field training. Like I said, they've been progressing very well. They're expected to be completed with FTO and released on their own by the end of the month. So that's an extra two officers that we'll have on the road to help us out. Officer Garman, Officer Blocker, and Officer Gideon are in their 15-week at the academy, scheduled to graduate on the 24th. So again, we'll have Garman back. He's already been through FTO and all that, so it should be easy to get back on the road. And then Blocker and Gideon will go into the FTO phase, which is field training. So look forward to having them back.
Mm-hmm.
We co-hosted a basic car seat training class for law enforcement with the Whitley County Sheriff's Department and the Criminal Justice Institute. Training went very well and provided no cost, so it was a training. And we had all our officers attend. We hosted interns from the Whitley County Consolidated School, both in dispatch and police department. continue to get strong students that come and participate in the program, so that they're getting involved a little bit. Maybe we'll be able to get some of them down the road. And then this is telecommunication week for dispatch, so glad to have all of our dispatchers there. Without them, and we don't know where to go.
That's true. Yeah.
Question to Gary.
They tell us where to go.
They do tell us.
Multiple ways.
Thank you, Gary. Marcia?
Nothing.
Sally?
Nothing.
Lots of things happening. I couldn't tell you all of them right now, but yeah, we're working on trying to get, you know, Westgate going, and jail's a big thing, and we got downtown plan that's being worked on, or downtown, you know, PER that's being worked on, and NDOT did repair our curb in the pedestrian island that got hit by their plow this winter on both sides of the island, strangely. But I think, so they did patch it on Monday, but I think they are going to put up some kind of a, like, pole or post or something so that their people know not to hit the pedestrian island. So that was nice. They got that fixed very quickly, actually. Lots of things happened. So I'm sure there's more than that, but that's all I got right now. So
I have nothing.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and, are you from SPACCO?
I'm actually from Optum Petroleum Services.
From Optum. Okay, come on up. I thought he was going to be here by now, but
he gave me a call. He said they rescheduled his daughter's senior night.
Yep,
so
yeah, he's going to lead me to the wolves here.
Oh,
so,
guys, don't look too bad.
So anyway, so to kind of give a little bit of background to the board, so we have had those fuel pumps at the MSF for a really long time. Not great shape. All kinds of testing and reporting that has to happen because they're underground fuel tanks. We worked out the deal with the county so that we're using theirs because that gives them more purchasing power. It gives us a lower rate. All kinds of really good things. Well, the time has come to remove the fuel pumps, if you will, out of the MSF, and also to put a much smaller system over at the parks office. So with that, I'll kind of turn it over to you to kind of talk about what the plan of action is.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, so to build on what you said a little bit, there's been some ongoing issues with the equipment due to age, water levels in that area. As you guys know, there's a stream, quite a bit of water that goes over there. I've been helping Sean for several years, kind of not really patch everything, but just kind of move things to the next step, you know.
To get by.
Yeah, to get by, because ultimately the work that we like to do is you know, not patchwork, obviously. But essentially what we've, Sean and I have been working on is a proposal to remove the two underground storage tanks that are at MSF. Is that what you guys referred
to? Yeah, okay. Municipal Services.
There you go. Perfect. So there is a 2,000-gallon gasoline tank that is underground. There's also a 2,000-gallon diesel fuel tank that is underground. And both of those, more specifically, the gasoline is having some issues with taking on water and ingress and water. In order to make those repairs, just to give you a little background and context why we've landed here, the way those tanks were installed initially, they put the tank pad and the accesses to the tank directly on the pad itself, which is, again, a little odd. We wouldn't do it that way, but again, typically the accesses are a little farther off and they're not so close to the dispenser. But with that being said, idea would be to remove these tanks, decommission them with the state of Indiana, meaning you do not have to do any further compliance testing on those tanks, and move to an above ground scenario, which I'll get to in a minute. But as of now, the governing body over above ground fuel storage tanks is the fire marshal for the state. Right now, Indiana Department of Environmental Management is in charge of anything underground and land and water quality. So can make it kind of tricky keeping up to compliance, and in the state of the tanks currently, they're hard to get to be to the point where you can in good faith say, hey, these are compliant tanks. So the idea with that is to remove those out of the ground, give a 30-day notice to the state for their blessing, which they always give. They just need to know what you're doing, basically, and what your plan is. Upon their approval, The tanks would be removed out of the ground. There is soil borings and water samples that will be done as well. That's really the only unknown out of this entire project, is how those are going to pan out. Most of the time, we can